Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone, and the Zone Sports Network. By the way, following up on the Elijah Millsap, Dennis Lindsay back and forth, Sarah Todd spoke with Elijah Millsap. Sarah Todd of the Deseret News, and she'll have a story posted here very soon, she said, but on Twitter wrote, and I'll just read these lines verbatim. I spoke with Elijah Millsap this morning about the incident he referred to in his tweets last night. He said that his hope is that by shining a light on the use of bigoted language, that there can be progress and change made. The purpose of his coming forward was not to paint Dennis Lindsay as a racist. Quote, I don't believe he's a racist. I was highlighting the remarks, end quote. Millsap's hope is that by sharing his own experience, it will benefit others, possibly start conversations even if they're hard. To those wondering about why now, after 6 years, well, that's the wrong question. It ignores the fear and fear of consequence and of Millsap's position at the time. Millsap said that instead people should be asking how to be more empathetic and how we can work towards unity. And then she followed up, said more coming in a full story later today. So, Sarah Todd with some conversations with Elijah Millsap. So,
well, I just want to point this out. He said, I do not believe Dennis Lindsay is a racist. I was highlighting his remarks. Well, I will say that one of the side products of putting out a tweet saying, quoting what Dennis Lindsay said, is that people will see Dennis Lindsay as a racist with those comments. You can't say, well, I don't believe that he's a racist, but then release those remarks, because those remarks paint him as a racist.
Yeah.
If they were in fact true. So that's tough. This whole situation is really difficult. So Scotty, from what I understand, he did not release those remarks with the intent of uncovering Dennis Lindsay as a racist?
Correct. He just wanted to talk about the comments made by Dennis Lindsay. Not paint Dennis Lindsay individually as a racist, but say, and he said, I don't believe Dennis Lindsay is a racist. I wanted to talk about the comments that he made. So, again, I'm sure more information will come out on that, but Sarah Todd with some direct comments with a direct conversation with Elijah Millsap.
Same exact thing, by the way, the Utes defensive back said about Morgan. He didn't think he was a racist.
Yeah. All right, so with that said, let's move on and talk about the game last night. Jazz get a convincing victory over the Los Angeles Lakers. And, of course, when you beat the Lakers and you beat them by 25 points with LeBron James out on the court, regardless of whether or not Anthony Davis and a couple others weren't there, the Jazz put it on the Lakers and put it on a big way. So there's a lot of people out there talking about the Jazz. So let's talk about on the national side. Here's the comments made by Nick Wright, I believe, from
First Things First.
He's on with Brandon Marshall, former wide receiver, I think played for almost every team in the NFL. And here's his comments regarding the Utah Jazz.
But I want to circle back to the Jazz quickly because, Brandon, I think we agree on this. Everyone's going to be on television this week giving the Jazz their flowers and good for them. And they deserve them because right. They've earned it. I'm very curious to see if anyone actually is going to back that up with, and I think they can win the title, because I don't think anybody does. I think that everyone that's going to be like, good for the Jazz. We're so happy for you. Quinn Snyder, Donovan Mitchell, put respect on his name. The Stifle Tower. Do you see Jordan Clarkson with the ultimate green light? I think all of them are like, and here are six teams I would pick over them to win the title. And I really think it is six teams that people are going to have more confidence in going into the playoffs. No. So I do think Brandon, both LA teams.
Just two.
Both LA teams.
No. That's it. Done. Your list is done.
And the East. We got to go to the East.
Oh, I'm talking about the whole league. Oh, to win a title.
and to win the title. Yes, yeah. Yes. So now we can get to at least five and probably six, and in a couple weeks, seven. So good for the Jazz. It's adorable. You're playing great. No one thinks you can win a championship. Zero people believe that, Jim.
Okay.
So he called their performance adorable, which I just, you know, when you get called adorable, I don't know if there is a more shaming remark for a professional athlete. No professional athlete wants to be called adorable.
They're not a puppy.
He just called the Jazz adorable.
Yeah.
And then he said, I don't think anybody in this country believes that they're an actual contender. Does this guy just hate the Jazz?
No, I just, look, he's, it's just a level of not being informed, and it's a level of an easy statement to make. The guy hasn't seen the Jazz play, probably outside of last night, doesn't know anything about the Jazz, and frankly, it's a very easy comment to make on a national side because nobody's going to complain. Because he might be right in terms of on the national perspective. If we were to go to Chicago, if we were going to Nashville or pick any city, and you were to say, hey, just pull any Joe Schmuckatelli off the street that's a casual fan of the NBA, do you think the Jazz are going to win a title this year? Do you think the Jazz can win a title? And he's probably right, a lot of people, because he represents a large number of those people that don't think the Jazz are title contenders. And he, you know, said the Jazz are the sixth best team. He's probably saying the Clippers, the Lakers, and then going east and saying Philadelphia, Brooklyn, and Milwaukee, and saying that the Jazz are behind those five teams.
Jazz abused Milwaukee twice, by the way.
Yes. I bet he doesn't know that. I bet he doesn't know about the Philly game. There has been one game against Brooklyn where Brooklyn put it on the Jazz pretty good.
Yep.
And then he looks at the Clippers and Lakers. And I think there's a lot of NBA people that are like, oh, Jazz against the Clippers or the Lakers in the seven-game series? I don't know if I like their chances. Like, everything he's saying is true. It's just, in a way, when I say true, I don't agree with what he says, but I think he's representing a lot of people out there that don't believe the Jazz can beat these teams in a seven-game series.
We do need to add that anytime you've got voices like this, it makes a run and a championship that much more dramatic.
Yes.
Believe it or not, it's pundits and statements like this that set up a stage at the end of the year when they make it, and there they are against the Brooklyn Nets in the championship or the 76ers in the championship. These remarks play over and over again. And it does set the stage for a more dramatic, impressive, incredible, memorable win. Because I can't – can you remember the last time there was a NBA champion that we didn't at least kind of think preseason that they're going to be the NBA champions?
The Raptors might be the only time. But they had Kawhi, too. And so you're thinking, okay, well, but you got Kawhi on a one-year lease, and you're thinking, can they really get it done?
Yeah, but at the same time, when they started doing it, it was like, oh, well, they've got Kawhi. He's got three championships already.
Yeah.
And he could lead a team.
Yeah.
So there wasn't this naysaying and disbelief when Kawhi was making that push. I don't think people stopped and said, no chance Kawhi and Adebayo and this team, there's just no chance they can do it. Right?
Not that I can remember, no.
I don't remember that much either. For the most part, we've seen champions coming. And I think that this kind of verbal abuse and this kind of doubt, and I actually think in the long run it could end up being beneficial for the shock and awe, the surprise, and also, you know, packing somebody's words right back down their throat.
Yeah,
it can make it a lot of fun.
And let me ask you this, when somebody comes like, look, this dude, Nick Wright, he's been around for a while, but he's not a household name. He's not, you know, he's trying to be Skip Bayless. He's trying to be Stephen A. Smith. He's trying to be loud and outspoken and have real strong opinions.
Yeah, right.
But he doesn't have that cachet that some of these other guys have. Like, I've heard of the guy. I can honestly say I've never watched his show. I know he's got a radio background. I don't know. I've never listened to him on the radio before. So this, I've known the name, but this is the first time hearing a lot of some of his stuff. Does stuff, even from a minor character like this, does that find its way into a locker room?
Yeah, it will. Off of a program like Fox Sports 1, it will. And where he's doing the show with Brandon Marshall, not that Brandon Marshall carries any weight in the NBA, not that his comments are going to irritate anybody, but the audio of it, the sound of it, the quotes being tweeted of it, the Jazz fans who are continually tagging Joe Ingles and Utah Jazz players and linking the audio and the video, it gets back to him. Now, they're going to blow it off, and I don't think that this is – it's not at the Shaquille O'Neal level. You know, when Shaquille O'Neal – I know that we all blew it off and said, oh, that's just Shaq and don't even know if – but the Shaq comments would get under the skin much more than this guy.
Well, and that's the thing. This guy will never – the one thing I respect about Shaq is that he said it to the face of Donovan Mitchell. Now, I don't like what he said. I don't like how he said it. I think he's completely wrong. But it does take a certain huevos, because I guarantee if a Jazz player, Donovan Mitchell, went on whatever this dude's show is, that guy is not talking like that.
No, for sure not. No. I just think that these kinds of comments and this audio and these national voices that do this are setting things up for a much grander, a much bigger type victory. And I also want to say this. I think that people make these comments because they believe at some point the Jazz are going to face up against the Lakers and the Lakers are going to do their work for them. You know what I mean, Scotty?
Yeah.
It's like it'd be like me and Johnny walking into a restaurant and Johnny just talking trash to some dude because I'm standing right behind him and Johnny knows I'll do anything for him. So he's sitting there writing a lot of checks that maybe he can't cash knowing I'm there to take care of business. Well, I think that these guys, these national voices, they're able to write checks because they're like, oh, LeBron will cash that for me.
Yeah, yeah.
Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, they'll cash that for me. So I know in the long run, I'm going to look right. Even if it is the Western Conference Finals and they get bumped by the Clippers,
yeah,
I'm going to look right eventually. Even if it's a seven-game series and the Jazz push the tempo and the Clippers end up dispatching them in the Western Conference Finals, it'll prove me right. And then, let's say the Jazz do skate by LeBron James or Kawhi Leonard. Well, then they're going to see the Brooklyn Nets, and the Nets will take care of my heavy work.
The other thing is, and I think people are kind of figuring out what derisive comment – I don't even want to call it journalism because it's not. And what you and I do isn't journalism. We're commentating / entertaining. That's what we do. But I think people are kind of figuring out what derisive commentary really is. It's just to get people tuning in. Like, I guarantee if the more the Jazz win, the more Jazz fans are going to want to keep track of this guy and listen to what he has to say and see if he's eating any crow. I mean, Skip Bayless has made tens of millions of dollars doing this. Stephen A. Smith has made tens of millions of dollars doing this. This is just playing with your emotions. Guys don't mean half the stuff they say. They're just trying to get a rise out of you because if they're right, they can gloat and talk about how right they are. If they're wrong, they know you're going to listen and you're going to interact with them on social media because they want you to own up to being wrong, and so they're going to listen to wait for you to own up to being wrong, and you can just spin it in a different direction. I remember I was with the old K-Fan, and we carried Colin Coward's show at the time. And Coward's not in the market anymore, but I respect Colin. I think he does a tremendous job. And before the Sugar Bowl, he was saying Utah's got no chance. Utah's going to get run off the field. They have no business being on the field with Alabama, blah, 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 blah. And then all of a sudden, Utah goes out. They decimate Alabama in the Sugar Bowl. He comes on Monday and says, sorry, Utah fans, Alabama just wasn't interested in it. I didn't know their lack of interest in playing in this game and playing you. That's how you won that game. And you spin it any way you want. And Utah fans are beyond upset about it. But, you know, he made a bad guess. He was wrong. And then he spun it to go a different direction just to continue to tick you off. And that's just, That's just how the game's played.
It's Kevin Graham putting his life on the Oklahoma BYU game.
Yeah.
I bet my life on it.
How was that, by the way? I was not working there.
It was a rough one. It was a rough one because people really did want him to
lose his life. Yeah.
Literally die.
Yeah, people wanted him to pay up.
That's not the first time somebody thought that about Graham.
People wanted him to pay up. But there is a flip side to all this,
yes.
Right?
On the other side, you do have national media that's coming to the defense of the Utah Jazz, including former NBA player Kendrick Perkins.
Is Utah the best team in the NBA right now?
Hell yeah, they are, Greeny. They are something special, and they are serious, okay? And they could easily come out of the West. They are one team that is not lacking at anything. They have rim protection in Rudy Gobert and Derek Favors. They have perimeter shooting in Joe Ingles, Jordan Clarkson, Bogdanovich, Conley, Donovan Mitchell, and they have wing defenders. O'Neal is one of the most underrated guys in the league for his guarding the wings, the wing position and the guard position, and they're well coached. This team at home, unbeatable. And look, I would hate to play the Utah Jazz in the series and have to play a game 7 in Utah. This is not Stockton and Malone. This is the new generation of the Utah Jazz, and they are electrifying, and they are very dangerous.
So there you go. There's the flip side of Kendrick Perkins.
Is he a little partial because he was a Jazz man?
Perk?
Yeah.
I don't think Perk ever played for the Jazz.
Well, I know, but...
he was part of a trade.
Yeah.
And then got shipped away.
Yeah. Didn't he stop in town for 2 days? I obviously, Perk doesn't have any reason to talk good about the Jazz other than he truly believes they're good.
Yeah.
I also think Perkins probably has watched them a couple of times, and he's watching that perimeter shot and thinking, man, you add that with the best defensive player in the league that can clean up a lot of mistakes, allow guys to play really tight on the perimeter, try to defend the threes on the outside. I mean, that's one thing that's really impressive is just to watch how quick the rest of the Jazz can close on the perimeter knowing that Rudy's back there. I mean, they play really tight. If they need to play tight, they'll play really tight. That's why even if they play Golden State, I think that they do pretty well. You know, even if Steph Curry's dropping on the outside, I feel like the Jazz feel like they can play pretty tight. Now, I guess a big man that can shoot and draw Rudy out a bit will play make some difference. But
well, and that's the thing that if you looked at the way the Lakers were playing and they had Gasol playing in that role, where Gasol was making the entry pass to LeBron in the post, and LeBron could then tack O'Neal by posting him up or kick it out to Gasol, who was open for three. They're going to run that with Anthony Davis.
Oh, for sure.
And Davis can knock down those threes.
It'll be a much better run.
And so it does two things. It pulls Rudy Gobert out of the paint, and then it isolates LeBron against O'Neal in the post, where LeBron's going to have himself a huge advantage.
A feast.
Yeah.
We've got some good basketball coming up, man.
Yeah.
Obviously, Utah Jazz taking on the Miami Heat, starting a four-game road trip tomorrow against the Miami Heat, and then a back-to-back against Orlando on Saturday. And then they'll conclude that road trip against the Philadelphia 76ers. But this four-game road trip will be telling. I know I've said that a lot, but this will be telling. I thought, Scotty, when I was doing some of the math on the Utah Jazz last consecutive victories, their last 10 games – I thought their entire last 10 games were against current playoff teams, which it would have been the case, only the exception, the Boston Celtics have fallen out of the top 8 seeds in the East. Other than that, every one of the last 10 games is against a current NBA playoff team. And they are 9-1 in that stretch, and there are multiple double-digit wins in that stretch against these playoff teams. Think about it. Essentially 10 of the last 10 games that you've played are against playoff teams. And you've destroyed them. You've embarrassed them, including Charlotte a couple of times. And Philadelphia. You've got some really good wins in there. This Jazz team is impressive. For people to just dismiss it, again, I think if for them to dismiss it, it goes back. Not about their disdain for the Jazz. Their confidence in the Nets,
yeah,
or their confidence in the Lakers or Clippers to do their bidding.
And I'll take it a step further in their laziness in following the league.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, you and I, you know, we may make a comment about an NFC East football team that isn't completely educated because they don't follow the NFC East and the NFL that well, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll make a bold, brash statement, and if we're wrong, then we'll own it and be wrong about it. I think the same thing applies here. You've got a guy, and I don't know where this show's based out of. I know this guy's got roots back east. I don't think anybody not named the Lakers or the Clippers are really on his radar in the Western Conference, talking about the NBA. Hands and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone, and the Zone Sports Network. Hey, by the way, you hear that?
Yes, sir.
That is the package of a cookie dough chunk Built Bar that is available for you right now and will only be available for you today and tomorrow at BuiltBar.com.
You want to share that one?
No, you have your own that you can open up and try.
I know. We've done this before, though. I think it's kind of become standard that we share yours.
Yeah. Frankly, it's probably not a bad idea. Go to BuiltBar.com. You get 20% off your order right now. These bars are going to change your life.
They really are. It's the best protein bar on the market. I know because I've tried a lot of protein bars. I mean, it may not look exactly like it, but I still work out at least 3-4 times a week. I still get a pump. I still need protein for my muscles. I still like protein because it helps me.
Pizza for my muscles.
Protein for my muscles.
Oh, yeah, that's right. My bad.
So I try to get as much protein as I can in my body because it makes me feel good and full throughout the day.
I forgot. It was a pizza? What was it?
Oh. I don't know, but I was on a kick on that. I don't know what was going on with me.
Well, this is, if you want something for your muscles, this is the thing to go to.
It is. And here's the other thing. There's a lot of people out there that are on the keto diet, and I'd fuel my muscles. There's a lot of people out there that are on a keto diet. They're looking at their net carbs. In fact, I've been on a keto diet a couple times where I really want to drop my carbs. 3 to 5 net carbs in these bars, and they are divine. They are delectable. Delicious. So they cut that craving when you're on that carb kick, but you've got that major sweet tooth that's just killing you. It's aching. You throw a Built Bar on that sweet tooth and it just kills it, man. And you keep those net carbs low, but you keep the proteins high. And then your overall calories, you know, let's say you're a Weight Watcher and you're watching your marks. You're talking about 150 calories in this delicious bar. These Built Bars are dynamite, the best protein bar on the market. I'll back that 100%. The best tasting protein bar on the market.
Make it happen. All you have to do is go to BuiltBar.com. That's BuiltBar.com. And let's make it happen. Let's get it in you. It's all courtesy of Built Bar, where you get 20% off when you put Zone in a checkout right here on the Zone Sports Network.
And I'd fuel my muscles.
The Big Show.
The Big Show.
With Jake Scott and Gordon Monson.
Longtime NBA video coordinator. He's Mo DeKeel with us. Your thoughts on what you've seen from this Jazz team thus far?
You know, the thing that's most interesting is this is the team everybody was expecting last season. You're seeing everybody more comfortable in their roles. It's not just Mike Conley having a better understanding of the system and a better feel after his first season, but, you know, Joe Ingles going to the bench was an adjustment for him last season, and he's more comfortable in that role. Getting Derek Favors back has been huge. They're playing at a great level, and the other thing, too, is they've just been red hot from three, and I think that's been a big thing for them.
Catch the Big Show weekdays from 2 to 7, presented by Big O Tires, the team you trust, on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
360!
It's time to spin the wheel and talk some sports. This is another edition of Sports Roulette with Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. I must have had that guy muted, Lloyd. I'm not seeing that. Somebody's comparing me that I am to Boise State what Nick Wright is to the Utah Jazz.
Oh, no. I would love to stand up and say he's wrong, but.
But.
Man.
But.
You really went off on Boise State.
Yeah. Well.
But you're more accurate in regards to them than maybe Nick Wright
is. Well, they are a bunch of whiners. I mean, they are a collective group of established individuals in a successful athletic department that does challenge authority from time to time.
Are you on a road trip here soon?
What? No, I might see him down at the Mountain West tournament, though.
Oh, okay.
They won't even understand what that meant anyways.
I know. That's above their vocabulary level. Oh,
bam!
Type that into their old speak and spell.
What does he mean by that?
I had a speak
and
spell.
I know he did, too.
Oh, man.
All right, well.
If Teddy Ruxpin can't say it, they don't understand it.
Did you have a Teddy Ruxpin?
Yeah.
You know, I saw one, and I'm like, I should put that on the Christmas list. And then I was too ashamed. I'm like, I can't admit to having a Teddy Ruxpin.
I had no shame when I was young, obviously. My buddy Dahl Christopher has been very well publicized on this show.
You still got Christopher?
No, I don't have Christopher anymore. I lost track of Christopher.
What if
15
Fawn
or 16?
One day Fawn comes up, she's coming to your house for Thanksgiving, and she has a box, and in it is Christopher. You'd be pretty happy.
No, I wouldn't. I think I'd burn it.
No, you wouldn't.
you would not burn Christopher.
You wouldn't show it to Rock, but you'd have a little tear coming down the side of your.
So there's a lot behind the whole Christopher thing. I don't want to get into it because it's actually an emotional tug on my heart.
Yeah.
Because Christopher helped me through a lot of tough times. And my best friend growing up was a girl. Her name was Gina. Lived right across the street. And she had a bunch of dolls, little dolls. And she'd always make me play with the little dolls. And I remember she had one named Lady Elaine, and it was one that could – drink a milk bottle.
Remember when you said you weren't going to talk about Christopher?
I'm just hearing Dolores say, so is Christopher coming to dinner too, Hans?
Do we need to set a place?
Do we see it? Need to set a place for Christopher too, Hans?
And Lady Elaine?
Go get him out of your car.
Sorry. Continue on. Just so glad we're not talking about trendsetters for once.
Well, anyways, Lady Elaine and the dolls that Gina had were pretty feminine, and Christopher was actually fairly masculine.
As far as dolls go.
He had blonde hair, tight curly hair. My mom made him. And I would have my mom on to verify that, but I'm afraid what questions you guys might ask her.
Okay.
But I need to track down her cell number, by the way.
She made Christopher because the My Buddy dolls, first of all, you couldn't get them.
My Buddy.
Second of all, when you could get them, they were unaffordable.
Yes, very much so.
So I had a homemade My Buddy doll. But I did love them.
Yep.
I did, man, for years and years.
Hey, Dolores hanging out with you and Christopher.
Between that doll. MASH.
Between Christopher and Gizmo, that was pretty much my pack of friends.
Oh, man. I'm telling you, there's some kid that could write a thesis paper on you because there's some stories there. Because you got Gizmo and Christopher, and you're coming home after Troy made fun of you with the kick-up kids.
Yeah.
Did I get it right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
And then you made them all pay later.
Well, I'll tell you this. Christopher and Gizmo did not like Troy.
They were on your side.
When I told Gizmo and Christopher about Troy, they were not happy.
They were they were very comforting.
Oh, my gosh. I'm crying over here.
Told me someday I'll show them.
And you did.
And I did.
All right. Hans and Scotty here on the Zone Sports Network. Time for Sports Roulette. Take some of the big storylines we've not had a chance to get to. Put it on a roulette wheel and spin it. Lloyd, fire it up.
You big crybabies. You're worse than Boise State.
Wow.
Did you hear about Notre Dame?
Oh, yes.
Notre Dame said they don't want to be a part of this new college football game. They are withdrawing their image and their rights, and there will not be a Notre Dame representative on the new EA college football game, video game, that'll be coming out in about a year and a half. No Notre Dame. And they stated, the reason they stated was that until players can be paid for this, we don't want to be a part of it. Because remember, the game said, well, we're just not going to use numbers or images or likeness of players.
Yeah.
It's just going to be a standard set, and we'll pay the university. Well, the university will not agree to this until they find a way to pay the players that will be on that game in those given years. I kind of respect the fact that they're standing up for the players, but I also want that game. And let's be honest. Notre Dame is one of probably 10 teams that has to be on that game.
Yeah. It's like, you know, the golf game was always really fun, the Tiger Woods golf game, but it didn't have Augusta on it, right?
Yes.
And you're like, oh, man, I really wish I could play Augusta on this thing.
Until it did.
And then they added Augusta. And then it,
oh, did they?
What year did they add that?
I want to say it was like 2010. I actually have the version of Augusta, and it's awesome.
Is there like a golf game out there? Like, my kid, he's spending too much time. I need to Bogart some of that video game.
You want to jump on and play the Masters?
I want to play. Is there a good golf game? Because I'm tired of the 2K. Because it's just too, like, I just want, like, Y jump, B shoot, A steal, and that's it. You know, like, I want something really easy.
Oh, you can you get this Tiger Woods game, you'll be in heaven. You would love it.
Well,
but they don't make it anymore, though, right?
But I bet you could find it.
I know, but I want a good one.
What do you mean you want a good one?
Like the, you know, I don't want one that was intended for a PS2.
Well, it'd be a PS3.
Oh, you mean,
and it'll still be good
quality graphics?
Yeah, I want the graphics that are awesome.
The graphics will be great. Okay. Still,
on which one, Lloyd?
Up for the PS3. I got Xavier's playing. He's playing. He started playing Madden. Whatever one had Vince Young, 08 or something like that. He's playing that right now.
Because right now, it's the PS5 is the latest one that's out.
That's what I was going to ask. There's a PS5 that's out and available.
Yeah.
What are we Xbox wise?
I don't know. Xbox One. 10.
Because is there a 1 through 10?
No.
Oh, it's just
it went from the 1 to the 10?
1 to the
1S to the 10. Okay. Anyway, I've got a PS4.
And I've got an Xbox One.
Oh, yeah. So.
So can we play that 2010 game, Lloyd, on a Xbox One?
Is there PJ?
No, it won't work for Xbox. It's a PlayStation game. Oh. It'll work for 4.
All right. Because I think it'd be fun if we had, the ability of you, me, and Lloyd, and maybe we invite a listener, and we have, like, a golf tournament.
Oh, man. That would be a blast.
A foursome. It'd be great.
All right. So let me throw this out. For all you gamers out there, for all you out there, is there a latest up-to-the-minute golf game out there, and how can we play it?
I dubs Jesper Parnevik.
Done.
Because
I get beef hammer then.
That easy?
Jesper was like, he was like one of the first people you were able to unlock.
Yeah, I remember, because you'd get him and he'd be in his really crazy outfit. Do you remember the old guy you could unlock? The old Irish guy?
Well, there's 2K21 for golf. Oh, I didn't know that. I thought that was I guess so.
Who's there on the go. Cover there?
In fact, a guy tweets in, try PGA 2K21, LOL.
Oh, that's...
I like it when people...
Probably doesn't even have Tiger Woods, though.
Doesn't look
probably
like
doesn't
it
have Augusta either.
If it had Tiger, I think it'd be on the cover.
Well, I think they lost the Tiger when they didn't do the Tiger Woods game anymore.
Wait a second. Why did they stop doing the Tiger Woods game? Why would you ever stop that?
Because he was, you know, had some bad life
choices.
But
won't Tiger be relevant for the next 20 years?
I would agree. Like, I'm not arguing with you.
You say because he made – is that when that ended?
Hey, who's got Rory Sabatini?
Oh, I can't tell.
Oh, I don't know if Rory's. Rory Sabatini might be on this 2K.
Jeff tweeted that in, by the way.
That's Justin Thomas.
He'd be my dark horse.
Yeah, that's Justin Thomas on the cover.
All right, Lloyd, spin it.
It's a bird. It's a plane. It's a UFO.
It is a UFO. This courtesy, and I know we're getting out of the sports world a little bit, but Fox 5 in New York reporting that the American Airlines passenger jet traveling from Cincinnati to Phoenix encountered an apparent UFO over northeastern New Mexico on Sunday afternoon. The pilot on flight 2292 radioed around 1 p.m. Central Time and said the unidentified object was flying right on top of them, according to a transmission. American Airlines verified to Fox News that the transmission is, in fact, real. His quote, "Do you have any targets up here? We just had something going right over the top of us. I hate to say this, but it looked like a long cylindrical object that almost looked like a cruise missile type of thing moving really fast. It went right over the top of us." American Airlines, again, confirming that the radio transmission is authentic, but did not give any further comment. Here's the quote from American Airlines. "Following a debrief with our flight crew and additional information received, we can confirm this radio transmission was from American Airlines Flight 2292 on February 21st. For any additional questions on this, we encourage you to reach out to the FBI. The FBI did not respond with comment.
Weird that it happened over Roswell, New Mexico.
I know, right?
Huh. Oh, man. This Skin Ranch that we have in Utah is Skin Ranch. Yeah. There's a whole doc. There's a Discovery show on it.
The Skin Ranch.
Yeah. Yeah, it's up. It's
that
up.
Sounds like
it's up above Camas.
Sounds like something in Nevada.
Whoa! No! Tell me you've heard of the show that they've got on the Discovery Channel.
I've not heard of this.
The Legend of Skinwalker Ranch.
No.
How are you not watching that? Like,
I don't
watch anything.
Lloyd, have you heard of this?
I think I saw something, but I'm not watching it because it freaks me out. Skinwalkers freak me out a little bit.
Well, you should have said Skinwalker Ranch, not just Skin Ranch.
That's
Skinwalker
a better name.
Ranch, also known as Sherman Ranch, property located approximately 512 acres southeast of Ballard, Utah. It is now nominated as the most UFO-related property in the world. It's had more UFO activity than anywhere in the world.
Wow.
And Discovery Channel came, I think it was the Discovery Channel, might have been Nat Geo or the Geographic Channel, they came to them and said, we want to do a show. And in this show, they've got all kinds of phenomena that happen. The reason I know about this show, I'll be completely honest, one of my buddies is the bouncer at the ranch. And his job was to chase people off that show up at the ranch.
Hey, you want me to follow you home?
Is there a cover charge?
No cover charge at the Skinwalker Ranch.
I want to make sure you get home safe.
I don't know if making fun of the Skinwalker Ranch is the best idea for you.
Just want to make sure you get home safe.
What's up, Mom?
You guys are morons. Oh, jeez.
I gotta do a little research on the old Skin Ranch.
I wouldn't Google that if I were you. Don't do that. Please.
Please include Walker in there.
Yeah.
Please.
Well, you
don't.
Didn't.
No, for the safety of all of us, just include Skinwalker Ranch.
If you're going to do that, do it from your home computer. Don't do it from the work one, please.
Now, what channel is this whole ranch thing on?
It sounds like someone Jake Scott's browser history.
Gonna leave that out there. Until you talk again.
I make fun of that because so when we combined the old K Fan with 1280, Jake and I did a couple hours together, on a show. It didn't last very long, but we had a segment called Jake Scott's Browser History. It was actually, it's probably one of my favorite intros. I don't know if you still have that, Lloyd, but the intro, one of the best intros I think we've written for the for a segment. But yeah, that's some good times.
I just have a quote here. This is the most recent quote from L. Griffin. Came out the back end of December this year. He said, this is about Skinwalker Ranch. He said, what we are witnessing could be evidence that we live in a multidimensional universe.
Whoa.
That we are not alone here. That we may be interacting with other entities, other intelligences. So, you know, I say give this thing a watch, and when, what did you say, Lloyd?
Oh, no, he was just looking for that old intro.
Oh, okay. And you know, accompanied with what Scotty just told you about the sighting of the UFO, maybe open up your mind a little bit. Maybe Men in Black isn't too far off. Now, I'm not saying we've got mind erasers, but maybe we do have artificial intelligence that's – no, well, not artificial intelligence. That would be a robot, right?
Yeah.
Other intelligence.
There you go. So I don't know, was it, I was talking to somebody about this the other day. It may have been Johnny that, like, look, you know, we send drones across, you know, the plate, the thing we got on Mars and across, you know, we may not have had aliens visit, but there's no, you can't tell me they haven't been flying by drones and satellites and stuff like that to check out, like, hey, what's going on down there? Let's see what's up.
You sure think so, but it seems like it would be more like the Richard Gere, something of the third kind. What was the Richard?
Not Gere? Not Richard Gere. That would be Richard Dreyfuss.
Richard Dreyfuss. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Like, that's kind of more how I think it would go. Like, they'd come down and play music.
Maybe you're thinking of Mothman Prophecies.
And then we'd play music back at them and flashlights that say, "Hey, man, it's cool.
Yeah,
we're not going to probe you. Just come chill. Stop taking our people and killing our cows."
Yeah, and those crop circles really.
We've got cows.
We've got cows.
Yeah, I
because look, if there was something on Mars, they'd be like, "Okay, what is this thing driving around, man? This is weird. This thing showed up last month, and we don't know. There's nobody in it.
It just drives." Takes pictures.
Like, I don't think the people on Mars would collect it and hand it to, like, their FBI and be like, now don't let anybody see or hear about this.
Okay. Right. Point blank. Do you believe we've been visited by aliens?
No.
See, I always thought we did.
You're asking, like, in the very deep barrels?
Yes, 100%. I believe we have. But I also believe that my confidence in this has been a little bit shook, because if there was any evidence of this available – and if you go into elected office and you get privy to this information, I don't think that's true anymore, because there's no way Trump doesn't go on Twitter and talk about aliens if he knew that there were aliens.
Well, you got to be on Twitter to be able to do that.
He would, not only would he talk about it, he would brag about having a part of the UFO in his house.
He would have spilled the beans on this a long time ago. Yeah, so. There's no way he could have
kept
that
quiet. But didn't he have a bunch of stuff released about UFOs? Do you remember that?
Yeah, but I don't think anything of any, you know.
It was nothing that was like, oh, that's concrete evidence. That's the thing with me and Bigfoot. Like, I want to believe in Bigfoot, but we would have a Bigfoot skeleton.
Maybe it's a Skinwalker.
Well, look, they're 100% set on Skinwalker Ranch that there are abnormal things going on.
Skinwalker Ranch.
Maybe he's at the Skin Ranch.
Okay, now I guarantee you this American Airlines pilot.
Yeah.
It, was it American Airlines?
American Airlines, yeah.
Worst airline in the country.
Not trusting those pilots.
No. They just took me for an extra $800. They canceled my flights and then took me for an extra $800. They're probably just wanting to make money out of this.
Pretty much, yeah. Hey. Come check out that flight, Cincinnati to Phoenix. Who knows what you're going to see? Want to get away? Oh, that's somebody else. All right, 1254, Hans and Scotty. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
This is DJ and PK.
Larry the Laker checking in.
Speaking of looking up, that's exactly what the Lakers are doing to the Jazz.
The Lakers are looking up a long way at this point. The Jazz are absolutely for real. I, being a Laker fan, have found it kind of annoying listening to these national pundits always poo-pooing what the Jazz have done. What is it, 21 out of 23 or something? That's a huge run, and it's really impressive what they're doing. So these people nationally who keep saying, oh, yeah, that's just a hot streak, they're just not paying attention as usual, I would say.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
...97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network, 1259 on a Thursday. Hope you're having yourself a great day.
Were those comments that you were reading to me something that we can read on air from the governor?
Yeah, in a press conference. Yeah, hold on. Let me pull that up here real quick.
I'm just curious because I couldn't you were kind of reading that to me as we were coming into segment, and it sounded interesting. I will say that the numbers are out already today. Positive cases are, again, under 1,000, which is always good. I will give you the exact number. It is at 800, and the numbers came in today at 800. Jeez, he tweets so much.
He's looking at Ben Winslow.
Yeah. Oh, I can't find the numbers now.
Yeah, well, I don't know the exact number today, but
there they are, 832 new cases today.
But it is the first time in a long, long time that we've had 7 consecutive days under 1,000 new cases.
Thursday starts to climb a little bit. Tomorrow's always the big day, right?
Fridays are usually a little bit more significant. So that's a good one to look at. I'm trying to find this quote from Spencer Cox from a press conference earlier today.
Let's see. I wanted to read this too. Vaccines says we will report 660,444 total vaccines administered, which is just about 20,000 more than yesterday. So that's great. Our vaccines are skyrocketing. What did they say? The number gets to 1.2, and that's when things change in the state?
Yeah. And by the way, they also announced today that if you are 16 years of age or older and you have severe, health conditions or significant health conditions, and you can go to the COVID website to find out what those are, you can get vaccinated immediately. So I would imagine that those appointments are going to go pretty quick. So if you want to get that taken care of right now and you qualify, then by all means, you can go to your local health department website or call your local health department and you can get vaccinated starting, I believe, tomorrow. The hope was March 1. Now they're going to move it up a few days.
Can you believe that?
No.
They still doing that on the honor system?
I don't know about that.
That was the case yesterday.
I think so. All right, so here's the comment from Spencer Cox at a press conference earlier today. And this is according to Jim Spiewak, who is works for KUTV, reporter for KUTV. Oh, man, now I just lost it. Sorry. Hold on a sec.
You're right.
But a real strong comment in terms of masks, and not just in terms of masks. I think that's kind of the smaller issue. It's about how that he feels like things are going to turn here in the right direction really quickly. Said that Spencer Cox held up a mask and said, I will not be wearing this on the 4th of July, and I'll be in a parade, and I'm going to put the mask in a firework and blow it up or something. And if I'm wrong, I'll admit it.
That is so Spencer Cox.
That is Spencer Cox. Right?
Put it in a firework and blow it up or something. I appreciate his enthusiasm. It sure gives you some.
That'll be about the time optimism. We're all used to wearing masks, too. It'll feel weird to not wear one.
See, that's the problem.
You guys hit that point yet?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
When I'm in an airport, I prefer having a mask on.
I know. In fact, I might still, in the middle of winter, when I'm traveling a lot and need to not get sick, I might still put the mask on.
I have not, knock on wood, I have not been sick through this entire thing. Like, no flu, no cold. I've had a touch of allergies, but nothing. And I've been wearing the mask. I do my sanitizer.
You're diligent with the mask. You and I are both really careful with that thing.
Finally had somebody teach me how to wash my hands.
Well, that's good.
That's helped.
Yeah.
That's not something you just learn. It's not something we all knew until this pandemic hit.
I think we all knew. We just didn't take it quite as seriously.
By the way, I'm not a hand washer shamer. Some people out there shaming people for just learning how to wash their hands.
All right. If you saw a guy leave a bathroom without washing their hands, would you shame them and say, hey.
I wouldn't say anything.
Get back over to that sink.
I wouldn't say anything, but I'd look at his shoes and say, make sure I don't shake a man in blue shoes hand.
Yeah, you just avoid that person. You don't need to shame him.
No, if it was a cook in a restaurant, I would probably go find the manager and be like, hey. I saw a dude in an apron. He left the bathroom without washing his hands, and he went through the back door.
Got 20 guys in aprons back here. You want to point them out?
I'm not really happy about that.
Wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah, in a second.
If it was a worker?
So you're in a restaurant, and you're at the sink. You're all done. You're washing your hands, drying it, and you see a guy come out from a stall wearing an apron,
and a chef hat. And
walks right past you back into the kitchen. I'm probably going to say something.
What about a pizza joint? Somebody making the pizza, mask is down around their chin.
Ooh, that's another thing too. Like if you're going to wear the mask right, like the people just have it down flopping around their chin. It's like, come on, man.
Yeah.
I've seen this twice at a certain
there's
going to
be
place.
A lot of individuals that feel differently about that one. I do love Spencer Cox in his comments, though. And if I'm wrong, I'll admit it.
And he will, too.
So Spencer Cox on the 4th of July is planning to be without a mask, on a float, in a parade, blowing up a mask.
That's one heck of a parade right there.
Man, he's funny. He's a funny guy. He really does leaves his entire emotion on his sleeve, doesn't he?
I'm really torn on if we should make a request to get him back on. Because I felt like we kind of got burnt with the Vigil Brothers a little bit. Like we kind of prop dudes up.
Yeah.
And then they make it. And then they never call us back.
That's a good point.
And it would bum me out if.
If he turned us down?
Yeah.
Let's get him on and talk about the mass. And let's do like, we'll figure out some way to like destroy this mass for him on the 4th of July.
I see where you're going with this. And it's not okay.
Why? Why?
I'm going to end this conversation right now.
What's going on?
It's not okay.
Let's start right out. Sometimes, hey, what happened?
Sometimes Hans plays the long game. I'm not letting us get to the punchline on this guy.
All right.
Hans and Scotty, 107.
Cut me off at the pass?
Yeah. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone. We're live here at Built Bar, Hans. I think you should open up your coconut brownie chunk, and let's take a bite of that thing.
Yeah, I do have a coconut brownie chunk here sitting with me. We also just bit into the cookie dough chunk. This cookie dough chunk bar, I would say it's neck and neck right now with this coconut brownie bar. But this cookie dough chunk, it's covered in milk chocolate. It's got these cookie dough chunks that are on top of the bar. And they're just packed full of flavor, packed full of protein. They're only 3 to 5 net carbs. This bar is only about 140 calories.
Yeah.
And it's something that cuts the sweet tooth, fills you up with protein, keeps all your net carbs low, keeps your calories low. But just hits the flavor, hits the taste buds right across the entire tongue. It's just incredible how good these bars are, but how jam-packed they are with all the good things that you need. If you're trying to stay in shape or you're trying to be somewhat healthy, you can do that with this bar, but you can still feel like you're indulging.
Yeah.
Cracking open one of these bars and smelling that fresh chocolate on the outside and biting in and getting a bit of the coconut or a bit of that cookie dough. But you said this cookie dough is done soon, right?
People yeah, tomorrow. Wraps up tomorrow. The cookie dough chunk, it has had a quick comeback, and now it's gone. It's like Floyd Mayweather. Comes back, fights for a second, and then you don't hear from him for a while.
It says it's retired, but we'll see it again.
Yep.
But we do want you to go out and get that cookie dough. I promise you'll love that. You're going to love these Built Bars. Every time we mention it, you notice this, every time we mention these Built Bars on air, our Twitter blows up with people saying, oh, I love those bars.
Yeah.
Oh, I ordered them last time you were there. I love those bars. Our Twitter feeds are packed full with people that love the Built Bar. I have never met somebody that said, I just don't like the flavor of that bar. It really is an amazing protein bar. Give it a try.
Go to builtbar.com, use the promo code ZONE at checkout, and you will get 20% off right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.